does that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same thing.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I think we got Tech Talk here. You know what I think we also got? I'm going to bring this guy in here on the other side. Mr. Dave Sparky Saganaki?
No, it's not me.
Oh, he's trying to. He's, oh, man. You know, I have enough problems here every morning. You know, I don't need that.
I'm sorry, what number were you calling, sir?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. Well, we got a great show today. I'm excited about today. Not only do we have Dave. Not only do we have Dave Sparky Saganaki on here with us, but we're also going to have Paul Ulrich from Verizon, who we haven't had on for a long time. So he's going to be back on and going to talk to us about a whole bunch of things.
Good. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's going to be not only are we going to talk about some home automation things, but also, too, we're going to hear a little bit about the change in the plans that have been going on at Verizon. And Paul was gracious enough to say, hey, you know, he's more on the kind of consumer tech side and doing that kind of thing. But he's going to talk to us about those, too. And, of course, being public radio, we can't really talk pricing, but we can at least kind of see what, you know, he'll tell us what the different plans are and things like that, and make sure people know that they've got options and things are getting better, not worse, hopefully.
Price-wise, you mean, or?
I don't know. I'm very positive, Dave. I've got a very positive outlook on life, and I just I think everything's always getting better, so.
You do. I wish. See, I'm much more cynical and dour. You're very upbeat and positive. I don't. You were a Montessori kid, right?
No. I don't know what you'd call me. I was a latchkey kid. I know that. If people remember that, is that a thing anymore? I don't know if it is, but
yeah, no, nobody admits to it because you could go to jail for it now, I think.
Yeah. you're exactly right. That's exactly what happens to people. Oh man, what a week though. What a week. I, you know, and you and I were joshing around with each other a little bit with Google Drive down and out, and people upset, angry, fist shaking, the rending of the clothes and the tearing of the hair. You know, it was just a bad scene all the way around. Were you personally affected by Google Drive outage?
No.
Okay.
You and I have. Well, I have a confession to make, but I'm not going to make it right this second. I'll make it in a minute.
All right.
You and I have completely opposite views about the cloud. And most of the time, you're right. You are absolutely right most of the time. I personally don't trust it. You know, I would always have, you know, more than one, a redundant source of data storage.
Yes.
It doesn't even involve the cloud.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I wouldn't debate that at all.
Why were you upset that Google Drive went down then?
I wasn't. It didn't bother me. In fact, I mean, here was the exchange for listeners. So David said, well, this is why I tell you not to use the cloud, because I posted. I said, hopefully this is temporary. So here's the thing, though, is I am big, big, big into redundancy. I don't care whether that redundancy is in your home or if it's on the cloud. I love the cloud because it's easy redundancy. What happened to people is, so Google Cloud went down, or the drive really went down. So when people went to Google Drive, they tried to access their documents, and they could not. They could not access their documents. This is very, very frustrating, obviously. However,
if that's your only copy, yeah.
That's the thing.
Or your latest copy. That's the really big thing.
But that's just it. Is that it should never be. That should never be your only or your latest revision. I could see it being your latest revision in some circumstances, but I have every really critical directory that's got stuff that I need to do my work with every day. Google Drive's got it all set up for you. You just go in there and click and say, synchronize this with my desktop so I can work offline. There's an offline setting that's available right there for you. And if you just click the right button, it's done. These people that were screaming and rending their hair and all this other stuff, they could have been working just fine. They just didn't do this thing that nobody does ever. And this is when people complain about, oh, my hard drive, you know, melted. Now I just lost 16 years of my work. How did you not have a backup of that?
Well, you know, as you recently also pointed out, collectively, we're not that smart. You pointed out the 8 greatest hoaxes or whatever it was on the internet. Can't remember the exact number.
You nailed it. There was 8 of them. Yep.
Yeah, and some of the things people go for are just astonishing. So, and we all make dumb mistakes. So, my confession, by the way, all these years I've been giving you a hard time about being too reliant on the cloud, which you obviously are not. But I am a little bit, probably. Yeah. Well, we tease each other about it a little bit. I have to tell you that one time the cloud actually saved my butt. Big time. Was it called Google Play Music or whatever it is? They've changed the name a few times. I have no idea. It used to be Google Play before they came up with the Google Play Store.
Now I think it's just Google Music, actually.
Yeah, or something like that. But just fooling around with it one day, I uploaded a great deal of music. I mean, tons of it. Just to see if, you know, just like, really? This will do that? And I did it, and I totally forgot about it. And then I lost 2 hard drives at the same time, just about.
Ooh.
And would have lost all that music if it hadn't been uploaded to Google Play Music.
Oh, okay. So it was there for you, and you would have lost it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was able to download it back to my...
Well, that was a comment that I made when you responded about this with the cloud. And to put it into perspective for people who are like, oh, you know, the immediate reaction is, ah, there you go. See, that's why I only do stuff on my own computer, because the cloud, you can't rely on it, blah, blah, blah. But you think about, okay, so Google Drive for me, this really is the first time I know of that Google Drive went down that I was aware of it and was like, oh, hey, that could probably cause me problems if I was in the middle of something. In the time that I've been using Google Drive regularly, which has got to be at least 3 years, probably more like 5 years that I've used it regularly for a primary document editing and storage location, in that time, I've lost at least 2 hard drives, like completely melted down, lost 2 hard drives, probably more like 3. And that's not a... oh, it's down for 15 minutes. Hopefully somebody gets it going again. it's a piece of melted slag dripping out of my laptop case onto the floor, you know?
There should be a special prayer for dying laptop. I mean, the dying hard drives, not necessarily laptop hard drives. But, or trying to use any, you know, desperately trying to use recovery software,
yes,
to try and extract whatever you can as it just slips out of your grasp, as your data slips out of your grasp.
Yeah. Oh, I've done it. Yeah, yeah. I've been there with the emergency EBCD. Man, that'll be another cool side of the week here, because it's still around, the emergency boot CD. I think there's a newer revision version kind of thing of it, though, that I like a little bit better. So I'll try to remember to tag people on that. And
that's a unique sweat, too. You know, they talk about in the entertainment business, flop sweat.
Yeah.
When you're worried about things going over well or not. But dying hard drive sweat is
There's a special
sort of like a cross between Vaseline and baby oil.
Yeah, man, we got two shows in a row here. We're talking about that. We got Schadenfreude Funk just a week or so ago. Now we're talking about hard drive flop sweat. The floppy drive flop sweat was bad enough.
There you
now
go.
Now you got the hard drive hard sweat. Which by the way, I should mention, it is Saturday, October 10th. This is, believe it or not, this is episode 400 episodes racked up as of today.
Seems like a lot more than that.
Well, there's been some that were lost, I know, into the ether. In fact, last week's one of those that was lost, sadly, which
really?
I don't know if it was for good or for bad. I it was a fun show. I remember laughing so hard I was practically in tears. But sadly, the stream was down. I didn't realize the stream was out. And when the stream is down, it's all connected here, all those pieces, and it wasn't being recorded either. So we did lose that. But you know,
we're not in a cloud somewhere.
Well, we are if the stream is happening. See, if the stream was happening, we'd be in the cloud and then it'd be recorded. Because I record it at home too, but I record it from the stream. I don't record it from the thing.
Yeah.
But then we also have internally, I did not realize this, but that's how that recording occurs internally too, is that it goes to the streaming server. The streaming server is the one that actually records it. So if it's not making it to the streaming server, or the streaming server is not connecting for some reason, there's no recording of any sort anywhere, as far as I'm aware. These things happen, but I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
They happen less often than they used to. I remember the WRLR, the recording device that we had was somebody's old all-in-one PC. It was really pretty. Even for the time when it came out, it was obsolete. Then we had it like several years after it came out, using that as a dedicated recording device for shows.
Yes. Oh, exactly. There was a lot of hinky ways that we were trying to we were trying to make things happen around here. I don't know. So moving on to from Google, though, we're still doing Google stuff, is that if you're into this kind of thing, if you're the kind of guy that gets, or gal that gets excited about the newest version of things coming out, the Android 6 Marshmallow is official now. The ODA updates are coming, over-the-air updates are coming for Samsung, at least right now. The Galaxy Note 4 is going to get it soon. All that good stuff is happening. So, I don't know that there's a huge number of updates or changes for this version Marshmallow. I have seen they're expecting improved battery life.
That'd be nice.
So, yeah. Also, too, they're going to restructure the app drawer. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes. I've had some experience recently with the app drawer, and also too with the notification bar. We do have a new version.
Did you upgrade to 6? Marshmallow?
I haven't yet. I do have a Note 4, but it hasn't updated me yet. So it's going to happen soon.
Maybe you could go get it. You don't have to wait.
No. It's like it takes. I got better things to do, Dave. Come on. What I did last night, though, I was. I was managing a bevy of 10-year-old girls in a sleepover. So while they were watching Penguins of Madagascar and Secret of the Kells, great movie for kids, by the way, a little intense for a 10-year-old, but not bad. Fun animated thing. Anyways, that beside the point. So I'm sitting, I gotta like quote-unquote manage, basically just like make sure nobody's hurting themselves or things and I finally did it, I took the leap and I upgraded our primary PC to Windows 10 last night.
I did a few weeks ago. I jumped in with a couple of different boxes. What'd you think?
The upgrade process was smooth as silk. When Mike Miller came on and talked to us about it, that kind of pushed me over the edge. He's somebody I absolutely 100% believe. I believe you too. You didn't tell me anything different. But that really came with a voice of authority that said, "Okay, I can make this happen." I'm not trying to slam you raising up Mike Miller.
I'm not the voice of authority. I'm the voice of hilarity.
but I was very happy with what he had to share, and so I did it. And he was absolutely right. It was an absolutely seamless process. I fired it up this morning after letting it sit last night. It looks good. Everything so far that I can tell is working. I haven't tested some of the more extreme or obscure apps that I use, primarily like Plex is probably one of the bigger ones for me. Plex is a streaming media server that I use on that PC to stream videos to my Roku boxes that I have around the house. Primarily, I like cut DVDs of kids movies and things like that. So it makes it really easy for the kids to watch movies wherever they are, whether it's on Netflix or not. We don't care because we got it, and I burned it from DVD right into our streaming server. Great thing if you go and you're interested in finding something like that. Very, very easy to use, and they've upgraded the software on that recently too. I'll make that another cool side of the week. Is you can go to Plex.tv, I think it is, and just download that on any machine in your house. And if you've got a Roku or you've got a Chromecast or a smart TV, or even if you just know just enough to set up stuff on your computer and browser, your laptop, you can be watching those movies and other stuff anywhere in the house. Music too. All that good stuff.
And we've done it before, and we shouldn't do it today, of course, but and we haven't done it for a while. You should talk about the TV dongles.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, we'll see it now. It's interesting that you bring that up. I had a great experience yesterday. I really did. I'm not going to get deep into it today, but I had a really good experience yesterday. Went downtown in Chicago to the Weed Street Xfinity Studio. So Comcast Xfinity Studio, they invited me down, wanted to show off their flagship store. Talk to me. Now, Comcast has been a supporter of WRLR from very, very early on in the history. I was more than happy to do it. Maybe went in with a little bit of ambivalence just because of the, you know, positive, negative press kind of stuff that we've had going on here. And got to say, very impressed. Very impressed. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of really, really cool features that I wish my Plex box had and does not. And so not this coming week, but I think in 2 weeks or so, we're going to have on, I'm going to try to keep the conversation with Comcast focused. There's an app developer who's going to come and talk to us and talk about how he designed and created the sports apps for the Xfinity boxes. And I got to tell you, the app thing is very, very cool. They're doing so many cool things you can do with your TV now. It goes way beyond just the click and get weather or whatever. They're neat stuff.
Great.
You can play NBA Jam on your Xfinity box. I don't know if you knew that. You can do that. Plants and Zombies, too. You just pull that right out and pick up your iPad and away you go.
Wow. sounds good.
If you want to.
All kinds of new ways to waste time.
Exactly. Well, new ways to keep the kids occupied. That's what I was thinking last night with all these 10-year-old girls running around. Hey, speaking of keeping people occupied, we better get Jay on here because we are going to have, as I said, Paul Ulrich in just a little bit. So let me bring Jay on and we'll do a little geek trivia, see what we can do with that kind of thing. We are having problems with the audio levels a little bit today, so I'm going to try and maintain.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. Hey. Mr. Garmin.
Morning.
Hey. It's a beautiful fall day today here in Chicagoland. I hope it's the same for you down there.
Absolutely.
Excellent. I was sharing my joy at being out of the house. We have about 8 to 10 10-year-old girls waking crankily from a sleepover that they had last night for my daughter's 10-year-old birthday. So
today would be a great day to get arrested, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, honey. 24 to 48 hours. That's what they're giving me. Yeah, exactly.
The psych holes. They put me on a temporary psych hold. Apparently, I was babbling crazily.
Oh man, no, it all went well. It all went well. It was a good experience for everyone. I find in the hat, she actually had not just her girlfriends. All the girlfriends were the only ones that did the sleepover. There was also some boys from the school, and so it was fun to kind of hear what 10-year-olds talk about among themselves these days. And who likes who is a big topic of conversation for 10-year-olds, which I didn't realize. Also, poop. Poop is a big conversation still for 10-year-olds, which I also did not realize. So butts are just funny. People like butts. I think that's, it makes people giggle. So
you as well, apparently.
I guess. It does. What teed me off was I heard it was the perfect distillation of all poop jokes last night. I wasn't sure what it was at first, and as I thought about it, I was like, that is just crystalline of all of Adam Sandler's movies right there. Was I'm taking pictures and I'm doing the dad thing. I'm like, hey, say macaroni and sneeze, trying to get people to smile, and everybody else says cheese, except for the one 10-year-old boy who says poop comes out of my butt. And I was like, at first I was like, oh geez, really, we got to do this? And then I'm thinking, that's it. That's the perfect joke right there. There's no more to be said in the poop joke arena. We're done. He nailed it. He nailed it. You lose that after
the apotheosis of fecal humor, right there.
There it is. Like I said, that's Adam Sandler's done. You hire this kid, you're done. That's it. That's all you need for the scripts anymore.
Well, that's been true since The Waterboy.
Michael, didn't you say something about being pressed for time?
Oh yeah. I gotta move. I'm sorry.
This is what you're talking about.
I know, these things hit me. They hit me in a certain way. I can't move past them until I get it out. You guys think I'm here to talk tech. This is saving me money on counseling and psychiatry. to the degree you would not believe. and just think how if you don't do it for me, do it for my wife, because otherwise she'd have to listen to this. So anyway, yes, we should be moving along. I do want to bring Paul Ulrich on from Verizon in just a minute or two here, Jay. So I'm going to keep us rolling. I was just sharing with Dave, we lost last week's episode, unfortunately, because of some technical issues once again. We're not losing it this week. But what were people supposed to be thinking about last week, and what can we work on for this coming week?
Well, last week we were asking, in honor of them finding evidence of currently flowing water on Mars, flowing meaning damp soil on a mountain ridge, why NASA could not legally, there was a law in place that said NASA could not send any of the rovers they've got on the planet over to directly investigate the water that their orbiter has identified as flowing in certain conditions on the planet today. And the law that prevents them is actually the Outer Space Treaty of 1967. The one that everyone knows prevents us putting weapons and warfare into space actually has a provision that prevents NASA, for certain reasons, from doing that. And Article 9 has a provision in it that says that no active space exploration can contaminate or prevent or otherwise impede any other group's attempts to explore other planets. Mm. And the problem with our rovers that are on the planet right now is that they did not launch 100% microbe-free. They are not designed to look for life. They are designed to look for other scientific phenomena, and therefore they were not incredibly heavily irradiated and baked, literally in ovens, to make sure that before they were loaded, they are entirely microbe-free, because that makes them really expensive. Mm-hmm. So because they're not microbe-free, if they went looking in water where they're looking for signs of current life, they could contaminate the water with the life they brought with them. And therefore, by a nuclear treaty, we cannot send our rovers to where water is right now. If we think we found water, we have to send an entirely different class of probe to go investigate.
Ah.
So by international law, for the past nearly 50 years, we cannot send the rovers we have in place right now.
Wow.
So, we could give the planet, we could give Mars a cold, is what you're saying.
Effectively. We would never know if the evidence of life we found in the water there was life that is native to Mars or life that is native to the Curiosity rover.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, when we were discussing this last week, I was thinking, oh, this is a horrible, terrible thing. But now that it's explained, I got to say, I kind of agree with that. I would want us to know, as you say, whether the life that we found, if we found life, was ours, kind of thing.
Yeah, so NASA actually has a class of missions called Category 4 missions that are designed to land on other celestial objects or encounter other celestial objects. And they actually have a subset, 4A, 4B, and 4C, specifically for the Moon and Mars, places we think we might have found life, mostly Mars, and Venus as well, I think. And that may be appended to include Europa and a few other moons, maybe Titan. And it specifically says we have to design certain kinds of probes in certain ways. Curiosity and our other rovers are 4Bs, meaning they've been cleaned but not, like, completely sanitized. Mm. So they can't do life-encountering missions, specifically water-encountering missions. 4C, which we have a rover in the works to look to do now, is literally going to be put in a multi-hundred to thousand-degree oven, and all its parts are. So the parts all have to be heavily heat-tolerant to go be baked to the point they're completely antiseptic. That is astronomically more expensive and technically challenging, especially since one of the components of the rover, like Curiosity, is going to be a radioisotope thermoelectric generator, which is basically a stack of decaying radioactive material inside a thermocouple, which generates power as it decays. So making that antiseptic is going to be interesting. There's also what's called a Class 5 mission. That is where we go to the universe and bring something back to Earth, and there has to be all kinds of precautions around that so that we don't contaminate Earth with things from out there.
Yeah, which
there's a lot of that too.
Which that seems a lot less important to me than the other way around.
Oh, that's true. Everyone says that before the space apocalypse, Mike.
Before space flu takes us all out. Wasn't that a?
Have you not read the Andromeda Strain?
Yeah. Oh man. I did not know where that was going to go. I was afraid that the whole international treaty thing was like, oh, they've already carved all the planets up, and said, no, that area right there, that's Russia. And this is yeah. So that's actually, that at least is a valuable addition to our policies for going into space. I can at least it's the usual over bureaucratized version of it, but as we can survive with that. So what should we be thinking about, though, for this coming week?
So in this week, in 1956, the first manual for Fortran was released, the mother of all sort of compiled computer languages. In fact, it's the first computer language that had an optimizing compiler that meant you could compile it to run an assembly more efficiently than you could hand code it to run an assembly. Mm. So that's a big deal. And Fortran is still used today because it is so mathematically efficient that all major scientific supercomputers run that or a version of it that's compatible with C. So if you're an astronomer or a meteorologist or anyone doing really mathematically computational tasks on a supercomputer, you still program in Fortran nearly 60 years later. Hmm. Now, the funky thing about Fortran is it's designed to be backwards all its previous versions. So it's, for a long time, still had aspects that were punch card compatible, which is why Fortran is famously written all in capital letters, because all the commands historically in Fortran were all capital because they went back to punch cards.
Mm-hmm.
Because punch cards did not have lowercase encoding on it. So the question is, how long did it take in the almost 60-year history of Fortran for Fortran to accept lowercase letters?
Ooh. Oh, wow. Well, and I got to admit, so I learned Fortran back in the day, and even a little assembly, too. But I got to confess, I am such a creature of habit, I think because of that experience, when I am creating, it doesn't matter if it's a Python script or I do a lot of like Java and JavaScripting stuff, I always go back to, and it just seems so much more clear to me when I type those commands, the things that I know are command points, in capitals. And JavaScript doesn't let me do it in some stuff. It'll actually error out on me because it is case sensitive on these things. But it's like a default for me is putting it in that way. That's going to be fascinating. Boy, I wish you know, Microsoft, Xbox, and the other things had worked that hard, and Nintendo had worked that hard on backwards compatibility.
Well, there's a different business model in place. You had to be backwards compatible when you bought a mainframe that had to be amortized over decades. You don't have to be backwards compatible when you drop $300 on a console. They want you to buy a new one.
Yeah, and all new games, even if they're actually just replacements for the games that you had, bought 2 years ago. Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Jay, I am going to bring us to a close here. I'm going to kick you off and let you experience your wonderful, beautiful Saturday. As I said, at least here, I know it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous day. But we'll be back talking to you next week and finding out the answer to that. I love me a little Fortran, so that's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
That right, Pascal. Well, you guys have a good weekend and enjoy your interview.
All right,
take care. Great talking to you, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah.
Jay, Geek Trivia Garmin, jgarmin.net. You can find out more about him there. And I'm not kidding, man. Paul, I hope you're listening right now, because I'm calling you up. We're going to get a hold of Paul Ulrich. Paul Ulrich is from Verizon. We've had him on many times in the past. Actually, he used to like us enough to come into the studio. And then, I don't know, we did something. We offended him somehow, I think. And that was it. And so now he says, nah, I don't want to go in there anymore. Just give me a call on Skype or something. It could be the way that we offend him is because we can't connect to him, which seems like it's happening here again today.
I'll get Jay back.
Yeah, exactly. It's trying. I can see it's working. I'm watching the Skype show right here.
So maybe we need to change the name of the show. Not a tech talk. Not call it tech talk, but call it tech talk or ironic tech talk.
Ironic
tech talk irony, because we always have so many technical issues, and now we're having trouble with communication, a phone problem with a phone guy.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe just call it not. Tech Talk not.
Should be. Tech Talk should be, but it's really not.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just put the programming thing. We'll just put a bang in front of it. Bang Tech Talk. A little exclamation point to mean not Tech Talk. Yeah, it is not connecting to our phone guy. I don't know why this is happening. We're doing a Skype to Skype too, so it should be pretty clean. I'm going to
that's right there, that's controversial.
Kill it, and then I'm gonna bring it right back. Oh, well, a Verizon guy doing a Skype call, I don't know about that.
Maybe there's a some sort of global or universal law that we're breaking.
Yeah, good.
Like the microbes on Mars.
Could be. I don't know. At any rate, yeah, he's not picking up. We'll keep trying him, though. Paul, like I said, if you're listening, we are trying you right here. Paul also has the ability to connect into us directly. We've given him the studio Skype thing, and we're all connected on there. So give us a try if you don't hear us. What I'm going to do then is I will bring us down and out a little bit. I'm going to, instead of waiting to the end of the show to play all of our spots and promos and all that good stuff, I think I'm going to like do them right now. We'll get them happening. We'll make it go.
I've always been a proponent of that.
Yeah, I know. And that's, that is kind of, that's the way it's supposed to work from what I understand. That's what people have told me.
Yeah, for like the last 8 years or so.
I have a problem with authority and doing things the way that I'm supposed to. It's tough for me to just.
Since Comcast came into the Lake McHenry County area as the primary source.
Yo, hello, yowzas. That was a little loud.
I didn't hear a thing.
No, yeah, okay, well, I heard it. I think everybody heard it. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to deal with that volume issue. We're going to bring this in. I am going to do a couple of spots and sponsor promos and things like that. I want to mention to people, WRLR is a volunteer station. So give us a break. No, I mean, because so that means we're part of the community. We are here to serve. We are really all about what's happening around us. And that means that we survive and thrive because of the community. You are the community. Listen closely to these people that that do love WRLR, and think about becoming a sponsor and a supporter yourself. If you like what you hear, or even if you don't, maybe especially if you don't. If you don't like what you hear, then you should really do something for us to make it better. So so listen closely. We'll be back at you in just a couple minutes. Dave, don't go away. Don't hang up. I'll be bringing you back in just a minute.
See you in a minute.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Becky's Hideout is a proud sponsor of WRLR. Becky's Hideout features draft, bottled, and canned beers with a collection of craft choices in the mix. The Becky's Hideout stage is always jamming with musicians from around the area and beyond. Open mic night is every Monday, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Karaoke is every Thursday, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Operating hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. Becky's Hideout is home for craft beer and live music. Located at 2601 South River Road in McHenry. Their phone number is 815-363-7040.
Hello, I'm Rick Haggerty, proudly presenting something old and exciting. We're going back to the days when there were no televisions, no computers, and no iPods. The Home Entertainment Center was a large wooden box that delivered nothing but sound. Yet, it produced pictures in stunning color, high definition, and three dimensions, because the images were in your mind. Let's travel back in time to enjoy the comedies, the dramas, and adventures while watching history unfold and examine the fabric of America in that golden age of radio. Now tune in your imagination and turn that dial to your favorite shows on Radio Roots, right here on 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois, every Tuesday morning from 9 until noon.
Join Rusty Silver and Pat Cameron every Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. for a comprehensive look at what's happening in the world of sports. They'll cover national news in sports as well as professional, college, and Lake County High School sports every week on the show. Got questions or comments? Email them at sportscorner@wrlr.fm. So join Pat and Rusty every Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. for the Sports Corner right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
Since Comcast came into the Lake McHenry County area as the primary source for cable TV, they've shown themselves to be one of the most community-minded companies around. They've graciously provided our studio facilities with cable TV services so we may monitor national news and CHSI high-speed internet service so we may stream our broadcast signal via the web to increase our coverage area to include a global audience. For more information on basic cable, digital cable, or high-speed internet cable services, their website is www.comcast.com.
All right, we are back. I'm going to see if I can bring a good friend Dave back in here. Dave, you with us?
I'm kind of here.
He's kind of here. You know, that's all we really ask for is kind of here. Kind of here is good. You know what? I don't know if I've got Paul. Do I have Paul on here too?
Yep.
Oh, I mean, my gosh, there he is.
All right.
Yeah, outstanding. All right. I love it when things just work, you know.
Right.
But I still hate Apple, so I don't know what to do about that.
Hate's a strong word.
Oh no, not for me, not lately. It gets worse, Paul. It does. You know, I used to just dislike them when I was a consumer, when I was an Apple consumer, and just eating apples. And now that I'm an Apple developer and creating Apple apps, I can tell you, you get on the inside of that apple, and it's just filled with worms. Just it's bad.
All
just
right.
bad,
All
bad,
right.
bad. So I won't go down my own personal, you know, life of hell here. But what we wanted to talk about was good stuff, exciting stuff. Man, Verizon has been doing some cool stuff. I was really, really excited. You guys have been so good to me. The PR person who's great, she shot me some new stuff that Verizon has got, and I got to play around with it a little bit, not as much as I wanted to, but she sent me some Wemo stuff, some home automation things, some security pieces, and all this. And I don't know if people even realize, Paul, that Verizon does all these things.
Well, let's first talk about how fun it is to get a new toy, regardless of what it is or who it's from or whatever.
Not to mention a new free toy. I mean, I have to send it back, but a new free toy that I don't even have to pay.
Like, here, play with this for a while, then you can send it back when you're done. Right.
Yeah, which
first
you know
of all, that's always fun.
As but a tech guy, so that's it. Yeah, you only need it for a little while, then the joy's gone, and you know you're done with it. So it's perfect.
Right. yeah, home automation is just crazy. I mean, I just as I was waiting to chat with you, I started trying to figure out what isn't networkable or home automated, and I was stumped. I couldn't Google anything that wasn't connected. I mean, they have connected toilets. They have connected. You can buy a toilet with Bluetooth and speakers and heated seats. It's wonderful. Yeah. I get one.
Oh man, I don't know if I need to go that far. That's that made me a little much.
All the things we have, I've got a lot of those items that you might have been testing. I mean, I've got remote cameras. I've got the Canary, which is more than just a camera. It's more of a home security system with you just set it down and it automatically takes about 2 seconds to set up, and it mm-hmm. automatically just watches your house for you. You've got, of course, I've got the Nest thermostat. I've got the light bulbs. You can get the garage door opener. I mean, you can get just about anything that you can operate with your phone now.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and not only just with your phone. I mean, that's the thing that that I got really excited about is when I set the Wemo up and I started playing around with it, and right there on the box, it has the IFTTT logo, which if people aren't familiar with this, you got to go check it out. If this, then that. That's mm-hmm. That's what that stands for. You go to their website, and it really is exactly that simple. You connect a couple of pieces together. What I did was I was waiting for an email from a guy that I was doing some work with, and I get so many flipping emails. I was like, I can't sort any of them out, but it just occurred to me. It's like, well, I've got this thing now. I can do this. I set it up so that when an email came in from that guy, my light went on. And so
nice.
I'm sitting and I'm just watching TV, and then all of a sudden the light goes on. I'm like, oh man, that guy wrote me. I need to go pick it up my laptop again and take a look at it. So there's just like crazy little things you can do like that. You can set it so that the lights go on when you walk in the door, as soon as you connect to your Wi-Fi, you know, whatever it may be. It just so many cool things you can do.
I've downloaded the ITTT app, but I haven't used it yet, so I have to try that. I have to get going.
Yeah, and you don't even need an app for it if you don't want to use it. I did my work with it all online, and I've used it for quite some time, mainly as a repeater. Really, if I tweet something, it shows up, it goes through IFTTT and pushes out into my Facebook pages. So it's dumb things like that. But when you combine that with the home automation stuff, you can really go all the way and all the way with it. And that kind of connects in too with the home security pieces. Now, one thing I found interesting. So you've got the home security pieces. You've got the Wemo. I haven't played enough with the apps with all the stuff. Can you like manage everything from your phone or from your iPad and all that?
Right. You can set up your schedules, all that kind of stuff. You talk about home security along with the Canary. You can also get those the Kevo locks. So your lock you can then open with your phone, and you can do all sorts of things with the Kevo lock, because you can control it with your phone. Then you can send guests, people, temporary keys, like, hey, I need to get into your house. You can send them a key to your lock using from your phone to their phone. Like that just just blows my mind, right?
Well, yeah, especially when you think about you know, you've got workers that are going to come in, or mm-hmm. A friend that you just maybe an acquaintance more than a friend, that you're like, yeah, you know, I need you to get in, but I don't want to give you a key and have to let you in all the time. You know, and then you combine that with one of the, you know, one of the home security pieces, the one that was sent to me. I haven't installed it yet. I can't even remember actually the name of it, but it's a nice piece that actually is motion activated and has a camera. So you can set it up, and anytime there's activity or action going on in your house, it'll automatically start recording and broadcasting this video. And I'm assuming I can probably even look at that from my phone.
Oh, absolutely. You might, that might be the canary you have. I'm not sure. It could be another one, but yeah, that's the one I have now, is the, yeah, the canary automatically alerts me anytime there's, it's like a smart device too. It knows if people are home, it won't alert you, but when everybody leaves, then it'll automatically arm itself.
Oh really? Oh man! Oh man! I'm getting excited. I gotta get into this and start setting it up and all that. So now, why did Verizon get into those type of component pieces? I mean, when I think of Verizon, I'm just thinking, you know, phones,
right, cell phones, tablets.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, as the Internet of Things, as everything's connected, you need something to connect everything together. So Verizon's always known as being your you know, your home for the digital world, and everyone wants the digital world, and we deliver on that promise. So whatever you need connected, we'll connect it for you. Whether it's just think about the conversation we're having right now. We're not talking. Have once we talked about using your phone to make a phone call?
No.
Because that's like the last thing. I'm not making a phone call now as we're talking on Skype. So I mean, that's like true. The last thing people use their phone now for is to actually talk on the phone. Pretty soon they're not going to call it a phone anymore. They're going to call it, it's going to be called something else, because the last thing you use your cell phone for is to make phone calls, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and even more so, I think, with the kids. I know my son, he's 13, and my older son absolutely wanted to have an actual phone that he could use to make phone calls with. My younger son, he wanted a phone, but when I started talking to him about what he was going to use it for, he's never going to use it to make a call. And even when he wants to connect with us, he doesn't call us. He Facebook messages me or uses Google Hangouts. And so it was like, do I even want to invest in a plan for this guy and a phone and all the other business? He's never really anywhere where there's not Wi-Fi,
right?
Maybe we're okay just shaving a few bucks off the monthly bill, which is another thing I'm going to talk to you about too, by the way. But yeah, no, you're right. You know, things are moving in that direction where, and you mentioned the Internet of Things too, and how it is getting to the point, I think, where it's easier and easier to develop and create these things, which means that the companies like Verizon that have resources behind them can bring together so many different devices under one umbrella and just make it so you can do whatever you can think of and dream of in your house. You can just make it happen.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, right. Like I said, find me something. I do, you know, anytime I'm talking to somebody and they ask what's next, I'm like, well, think of something that can't be connected. And you'll just, if you try to think about it, you can't. It's already done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that was, in fact, one of the first things that I asked to give me as a demo unit was to connect my pet. I wanted to connect my dog to the internet. And there's an app for that. There is. There's a little device you can get. You can go onto the Verizon store and you can find, there's a thing you strap on your pet, and it will track them with GPS and let you know what they do during the day. Or if they get lost. I mean, you don't have to go buzzing around the neighborhood, yelling Spot, you know, whatever it is. You just know where he is. So that shouldn't give me, she gave me this other stuff, which is even better, but it was like just astonishing to me. I think my dog's life is pretty boring, so it's probably for the best that I didn't get that.
But this just in, he's still sitting on the sofa.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What I would want is for it to tweet to me when he's not sitting on the sofa. I think that would be the excitement for the day. I did burst the bubble on the one thing that I know that has come up recently. I've actually had people message me, you know, when they saw that Verizon was coming on, saying, "Hey, what's up with the new Verizon plans?" And and there was the two pieces of the Verizon plans that had changed recently. As you know, we can't talk directly about cost on these things, but I know it's anytime there's a change, people get anxious. And I've heard a lot. I see pictures of like ice cream cones with small, right, medium, large, all the way up. And then we've also got something where the limitless plans are changing their price. And those are increasing a bit. But, you know, can you tell me what's up with the like, sports jersey sizing now for the plans?
Sure.
And then also, too, how is this impacting those people that had those unlimited plans for so long?
Right, yeah, just like when you're buying a shirt, yeah, the plans are small, medium, large, XL, and double XL, depending on how much data you need. Now, because as everyone's kind of went to the, you know, talk and text is unlimited, talk on your phone as much as you want, text as much as you want, data is the key now.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether you want 1 gig, 1, 3, 6, 12, or 18 gigs for your family, that's kind of the, you can go higher if you want to, but those five are kind of the basic five.
And this is for the whole family. This is a family plan, not necessarily just for an individual even.
Right. Right. The whole clan, however many people you have on your account, you know, everyone now shares a pool of data. So whether you're hogging all the data or the kids are, you know, you can all pull from the same pool. The days of individual data on each line are long gone.
Okay. Okay. Oh, very cool. And I am the hog. I know. I'm the data hog.
You're the one.
Forget
to connect to Wi-Fi instead.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Well, and I also, yeah, I'm the one that's always streaming music everywhere I go. So
right.
Well,
make sure you set up those text alerts. You can set up alerts so it'll say, hey, you're at 50% of your data. You know, then you can do some quick math and see where you're. It'll tell you when your billing cycle is and how much data you use. So
yep.
Just in case, we've had a couple incidents, you know, where I get the 90% text when we're only halfway through and I'm like, whoa, hey,
uh-oh,
hey, what's everybody doing over there?
Well, and if that does happen to people with the new plan setting, say you get that text and it's like, oh my gosh, I know that the penalties for going over, you know, people hate that. They hate that. But you can call in before that month is up and say,
oh, sure,
I need to bump it. I need to go.
Right, or you can just do a ref. Just open. Just it's like, a you know, three clicks on the app. Just click on the app. Yeah, it's just a couple clicks. You can get it done in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
You can just add some more data on. And then if you don't want it again for the next month, just change it back. Yeah, you can change. You can go up or down in data whenever you like.
Okay. Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, that makes things. That means that the text is actually more valuable than just telling you to stop. stop downloading, especially if, with the cubbies going like they are. You know, I can see people just running those numbers up, wanting to catch the game when they're on the go. So.
Right. Well, I was in Wrigleyville for the wild card game just to experience the excitement there, and I did see a lot of people on their phones. I actually did. You know, I won't call him out, but a guy in the back of the establishment had no data. He had a competitor. I won't say which one.
Ooh.
And he was very frustrated. And I fired up the hotspot on my phone and said, go ahead, if you want to post that to Instagram real quick here. I fired up my hotspot and let him use it.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I hope that the hotspot name was something, you know, like Paul's Verizon special or something.
Right.
Oh, that's excellent. And I do use Verizon myself, so I, you know, I'm just going to shout out for that yeah, I've never had a problem. I really haven't. We drive all over the place. We drove out to Seattle and back, and streaming music the whole way. I think the only time I lost connectivity was around my sister's house. And that's because, I mean, she is in the absolute armpit of nowhere in Idaho, and I don't think they have electricity yet out there or running water.
Gotcha.
So,
right,
you know,
right.
Yeah.
You know, she's keeping it original. She's going old school.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Her idea of you know, a cell. I don't even want to go into it. But anyways, it's not
stop
good.
Stop there. Stop there.
It's not there. Yeah. Great lady. We're totally. I can't believe we're from the same family. Sometimes. A wonderful woman though. But anyway, so there was, though, this consternation, too, that I heard, that because of the changing of the plans, that, yeah, there's some real benefits to that. It seems like some lowered costs for that. But some people were upset because they said, hey, I grandfathered in. I had this unlimited, da-da-da-da-da. Now you're going to charge me more for it. Is there any way to make those people feel better? Or is this just, you know what, the world changes, life changes, it's not fair, deal with it, we're moving on. It's the 21st century.
Right. Well, that right. If you're one of the lucky ones that still has the unlimited, that's grandfathered in, that's an awesome thing to have because, as you know, I always tell people, don't listen to me when I say Verizon has the best network because they sign my checks. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to independent third parties, PC Magazine, RootMetrics, people test networks across the U.S. almost every day. Mm-hmm. Listen to them because they don't care who wins. They just want to report who wins. And Verizon always wins mm-hmm. every time. So you know that you're on the best network. You know you have the Lexus of cellular networks. So if delivering the promise of that digital world sometimes comes at a little bit of a premium.
Yeah.
We gotta make sure that network is up and perfect for you every time, no matter where you are, wherever you are, or whether you're in the back of a Wrigley establishment and someone needs a hotspot because their phone doesn't work. Mine was perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too that people really do get exercised about this stuff. You think about, I mean, it's only service things that I see that happening. You know, if you go into McDonald's tomorrow and all of a sudden your favorite sandwich is $2 instead of $1.75, you're like, oh, that stinks, you know, but you still pop the $2 out of your pocket and you move on. But when it comes to some of these service things, for some reason, people just, you know, it's like, what? After 12 years, you're going to increase my cost by 5%? You got to be kidding me. You know, I don't really, it's like I said, it's kind of like, you know.
It happens. It happens. Yeah. I do the exact same thing sometimes. So it's, you know, I when it happened, that's just, that's what I keep saying is that when you know you're on the best network, so that's what people expect. They expect their network to be always working all the time.
Yeah, yeah, and like I said, from my personal experience, and very anecdotal, but that has been the case for me, and why I've typically chosen Verizon when I've had the option. Now Verizon is, we don't have a lot of time here, so I'm going to just throw. I know you just said, you know, when people ask you what's the big next new thing, but I'm going to throw that one at you. What is? I mean, if I'm going to Verizon over the next month or something like this, or I'm going to go downtown to the Verizon store,
the big flagship store on Michigan Avenue. Sure.
Which we had a blast at, and again, shouts out and thank you for inviting me down there. And I went and I got to visit and see that when that grand opening occurred. What's going on there that people are getting really geeked out about when they show up?
Well, I mean, like everyone knows now, everyone that the new smartphones are constantly in a cycle, right? There's always the next one coming, and that I always tell people when people ask, well, maybe I don't want to upgrade because the next one's coming. I always say, don't worry, because even when that next one comes out, a couple months later, the next one's after that. So you, at some point, you just have to pick a time and get that new phone, because
oh, exactly.
You can't be worried about the next one because the next great one is only 3 months away anyway. So so you never – right. I always tell people don't get nervous about upgrading to a smartphone because don't worry if you – don't worry about waiting because there's – even if you do get the next one, the next one – is right after.
It's going to be right there too. Anyways, oh, exactly. It is so easy to have that buyer's remorse of, you know,
exactly.
Know, 3 weeks later, oh no, he's got the better phone. But, you know,
I can't believe that new one just came out again. I just got the 9 and now the 10's
yeah.
out.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting you bring that up though. So I will say though, that is one of the plan changes that Verizon still is doing. You're moving away from the 2-year plans and the renewal mm-hmm. stuff and all that, but you do support the renewal on the iPhones, from what I saw. That you'll support an upgrade to the iPhone stuff if they have an iPhone on the 2-year plan sort of deal. At least
yeah,
that's what I
yeah,
saw.
But there's so many different options too, as far as like you mentioned, the old 2-year contracts are kind of going away, and now it goes where the you're paying the device separately. And now there's also so many trade-in programs where you can just trade in your phone and upgrade to a new one. You can upgrade much more rapidly now than you used to, like, you know, back in the day when it was 2-year contracts for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly. Paul, I apologize. I've got to get you rolling. We've got
no
Robbie Rigel, Robshot First, is in the studio, ready to start talking some science at us. But we got to get you back in the studio again, so you can sit here for the whole. You always have so much more to add, and we focus on Verizon here when I've got you on the phone. But we'll get you back in studio sometime, and just add it to the conversation.
Right, you bet. Have a good one. Thanks, bud.
All right, take care. Thanks, Paul.
Take care,
appreciate
guys.
It. All right. Good day. Oh, and I didn't even get to say goodbye to Dave. Oh, well, Dave's gone. Dave, if you're listening, loved it, babe. Dave Sparky Saganaki, Paul from Verizon Wireless, Ulrich. I will post links to all of that good stuff that's been going on techtalk.wrlr.fm. So take a look at that. Also, too, don't turn the dial. I was not kidding. Rob Rigel, Robbie Shot First, Robshot First is going to be here. I'm going to leave you with SBTRKT is the name of the group, and it's New Dorp, New York. A little jam for the day. Get you moving with that. I'll leave you on that. And thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a absolutely wonderful week moving forward. You are listening to WRLR on 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Have a great week.
My girl got a minimum. Keep stuck right there till the number comes. Leave it smooth, operator looking like a bum. My girl's got a city to run. Got the key to the kingdom where the money's from. Never seen the color yellow, never seen the sun.
And he thinks I'm the negative one. Negative one.
Flag slapping in Manhattan. New Dorp, New York. Gargoyles gargling oil, peak of the empire, top of the rock. Flags flapping in Manhattan, New Dorp, New York. Gargoyles gargling oil, peak of the empire, top of the rock.
My girl's got a little shtick, keep you cool in the kitchen while you feed the kid. Keep you waiting in the window while the tank's tits. My girl got a limousine, got a full-time job just to keep it clean. Got a speaker in the trunk, you know where it's done.
You think I'm the negative one?
From. Never seen the color yellow, never seen the sun. New Dorp, New York. New Dorp, New York.
gotta sit it around.